Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody from Chicago. Hello, and welcome to this podcast. In today's segment, we will be talking with Chris Sciabarra, the co-founder and CEO of Athena Security. Chris, thanks for your time, and thanks for being on our show this morning.
Absolutely, and thank you for yours.
Yeah. Now, we looked up your bio, and we did some background snooping on you. We didn't do any background checks or anything, but you seem to have a very deep and rich background in security, cybersecurity. Can you tell us more about your bio and how you got started in where you are at today?
Absolutely. So, you know, I grew up on the East Coast, actually, in Philadelphia. I learned everything I could when I was younger, and I loved technology. I loved security, and that's what started my path on this road. I actually started in a utility company called GPU over in Pennsylvania, New Jersey. That got bought out later on by First Energy in Ohio. And then I moved on to start my entrepreneurship into California, started my first company called Rebel Systems. That started out in 2010, and I raised about $200 million. Actually, we raised for that company. We brought it to about a $500 million valuation, 800 employees before we exited through private equity in 2017. And then, you know, me and my business partner took off because we didn't have to work anymore, obviously. And then about a year later, we were really bored of traveling and doing things, and we decided to do something about all the people getting shot on TV because it was ridiculous. You know, the kids were getting shot in all the different schools in 2018, and we just wanted to take care of it because nobody else was. So that's what started Athena Security. And what is Athena? Athena is the Greek goddess of protection and war. So we wanted to, you know, reflect on that and, you know, help all the different communities and get these shootings out of these schools and hospitals. And that's what started the visual light gun detection product that we started out in 2018. But by building that product, all the different customers we were bringing on really wanted concealed weapons. You know, they wanted to stop the weapons before they were getting into these places instead of just finding them when the gun was in the person's hand and then we triggered the alert back then. So we went one step further and it started with concealed weapons, and that's where we are today. Right after COVID, we launched that new product, and it's obviously doing really well, and a lot of people love it, and that's where we are.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Now, do you have a presence in other countries as well, or is it primarily in the U.S. where you're located? Or
Yeah, we're just starting to branch out into other places. Right now, we're just in the U.S. and Canada, and now we're starting to look out in other countries. We're making partnerships with companies in other countries. We're probably not going to put ourselves out in those countries. We're just going to make partnerships for distribution.
Are you at liberty to say, like, the geographic regions where you're exploring, or?
Yeah, Europe. Yeah, pretty much Europe right now, and then we'll probably go into Asia and the Middle East also.
Okay, excellent. Now, I mean, given the uptick in, you know, mass shootings in the U.S. in the last few months and this year, I would think any organization could probably use what you're offering. But who is your typical customer base like? Or is it the SMB, the large companies, federal government, or perhaps both?
Yeah, right now we're really big with hospitals and education starting to pick up. Obviously, the products are really expensive, so you have to find the budget for it. So the education sector takes a lot longer because it's a lot longer process to get a budget. But it looks like the healthcare industry needs it the most right now. So they're the ones banging on the door and installing this pretty much throughout the country. We're talking, you know, really large change in the hospitals. And even one-off hospitals are obviously putting it into. But, you know, we're going after, like, the large corporations for sure.
Okay, excellent. Now, let's get into your product and service line. It looks like that you have weapons detection, visitor management. Can you give us more details about both, please?
Absolutely. So weapons detection, what is it? It's able to detect a weapon on a person or in a bag without setting off the alarm, even if you have a cell phone, keys, and a bag on you when you walk through the system. That's really key because you want to stop these types of weapons from coming into your building. So this is placed at an entryway. It's two pillars. It's two different tablets. One is what we call the controller. One is what we call the operator. And this gives you a lot of functionality for the system because it follows the best practices of Homeland Security, and we're able to test, document, and record all the different pieces of that entryway, which is really important because if you have to go to court and a judge asks you, did you test the system and where's the proof, right? And if you don't have that proof and test, then your case is going to get thrown out and you're done. You get wrongful death lawsuits on you, and it's a big problem for these companies. So we're able to do exactly what Homeland Security asks for as far as best practices in the product, and we help you document, record everything in the system. So that's the platform and the weapons detection platform, and then you have the visitor security, visitor management part of the security product. What that does is now it allows you to understand who's coming through your system, not just what's coming through. So put those two pieces together, you have who's coming through, and now you have what's coming through the platform, which is really important because you have trouble patients in a hospital, behavioral health is a really big problem. I think it's an epidemic in this country right now. And these types of patients are coming in arguing, they're throwing things, they're getting upset at workers. You got to flag them in the system, right? So in visitor management, now we can flag them as soon as they come in and sign up. Now we know that they were caused a problem last time they were in this facility. I'm going to go ahead and escort them to the room and make sure that they don't cause any problems for staff members, right? It's a shame these days that the staff members are used to aggressive behavior and attacks, and they just deal with it. And they shouldn't have to, right? So we're here to help them not have to get into these situations as much and make their lives a whole lot better. This also works for, let's say, disgruntled employees or employees that you fire at a school or anywhere for that matter, or kids that you expel. If you put them in the system, they try to come in, the visitor management system will flag them.
Okay, excellent. Do you have any customer success stories you can share with us?
Absolutely, yes. We have a couple published already. So you look at Duke Hospitals down in North Carolina. They have a bunch of different campuses, and we deploy throughout their different campuses. It's a great product for them because, you know, before you have this, you don't really know what's coming into your facilities, right? And when you put this in, the very first day, things start to get picked up, right? And your eyes open. You're like, wow. You know, you don't realize, you know, people are carrying, you know? And this is just with multiple hospitals, not just Duke. I mean, every single hospital we install in, the first day that we implemented, we were just in Houston, and this old lady had a gun in her bag, you know, and you just wouldn't expect these people to carry, and these are the types of people coming in and carrying. And it's just eye-opening, right? Kids, not kids, but they're like maybe 19, 20 years old, have pocketbooks, and they carry a small gun on them, you know, and it's just, it blows your mind that these types of people, old and young, carry with them. So these types of situations, it's just amazing when you put the system in. I mean, it's just an eye-opener. It opens everybody's eyes. It opens administration eyes, right? As soon as they understand they got 5-6 weapons coming into their facilities a day, you know, that could be 5 or 6 incidences happening, right? And if an incident happens, they realize, like, okay, you got to look at the money factor. You got to look at the distribution factor, all the different problems that could occur if an incident happens, right? PR alone is just going to nail you money-wise. So, you know, these facilities administration understand they don't want to have to deal with that. So putting a product like this in place is amazing for them. So now they can stop these types of weapons from coming in, and it lessens the issue of maybe an incident could happen. So all these types of institutions love it when they put it in, for sure.
Okay, excellent. Now, I would think that, like, airports, you know, train stations, bus stations, that they would be a great prospect for you. Have you deployed any of your systems at these locations?
Yeah, so we've definitely deployed an airport before. Up in Seattle was our first one. Here's the situation. TSA pretty much controls all of those types of devices at the TSA checkpoints, and you'd have to deal with TSA, not the airports. And they look for drugs, right? So we don't look for drugs. We only look for weapons. So it's not a good fit for the TSA part. But if you go to, like, Europe and other countries, they're checking people before you hit the airport, before you hit TSA. And that's the proper way and the secure way of traveling, right? And other countries understand this, and that's what they do. So I feel in the future the U.S. will move to that, where they're actually checking people on the way into the airport. But that's the airport's responsibility and their investment, right? It has nothing to do with TSA, it has nothing to do with anything else, but it's the security of the airport. So the airports are going to have to decide whether they want to do that or not. They're going to have to get our system in there, an x-ray system in there for the luggage, and have people come through it before they enter the airport to safeguard them. If you look at, you know, Atlanta Airport last year, they had a shooting right in before TSA, of course, and there's no way that anyone knew that anyone had a weapon because they didn't go through TSA yet, you know. And, you know, these types of weapons are getting through, and that would alleviate the problem if they put it before the entryway at an airport. So, yeah, I believe in the future that will start happening. It's a shame in this country or everywhere in the world, you know, things don't happen proactively until a problem happens, and then people decide to go do it. So I think the more and more these situations happen at airports, the more likely the airports will wake up and start doing what other countries are doing for security and keeping their citizens safe in an airport.
Okay, excellent. Now, in the world of cybersecurity, there are tons of framework compliance, data privacy laws, so forth and so forth. Is this the same true of the weapons detection industry? What kind of standards and compliances do you have to come into adherence with?
Sure thing. Yeah, there's a standard pretty much for every type of security product out there. The government actually issued from the National Department of Justice Weapons Detection System Standard, and you need to follow the standard if you're a company that wants to issue a weapons detection platform. There are companies out there that do not comply, and if they don't comply, you know, weapons can get through, and it's a really big problem. And what's in the standard? Let's go through it, right? So you have ferrous and non-ferrous types of metals, and you want to be able to detect both of them. So if you look at the standard, it's going to tell you what does ferrous mean, magnetic or non-magnetic. So if you have a metallic piece of metal, let's say steel, and you magnetize it or demagnetize it, you want to make sure that you can catch both versions, whether it was demagnetized or magnetized. And that's really important, right? And then you have in the standard, what kind of weapon are you trying to find? A small, medium, and large type of weapon. So you're looking at long guns, you know, AK-47s type weapons for the bigger weapons, larger weapons they call them, and then the medium size weapons, of course, would be your handguns, and then the small would be the smaller type of weapons, the one or two shot type of guns and or smaller knives. So you want to make sure you know what you're catching and what you want to catch and what standard you want to apply. So in our system, you can apply whatever standard you wish to apply. It goes down to GA, which means guns assembled, and 2B is typically what our customers install. 2BE, it means 2B, and the E stands for enhanced, and that allows you to catch all the different types of handguns that are pretty much like five bullets or more in a handgun, and that's got to catch, and we call it mass casualty weapons, and that's what most people do because they want to get people in the facility fast, and that's really important because you don't want a long line. The whole point of alleviating problems is to get people in fast. If you have a line, that causes a problem, right, for security, because long lines means someone can come in and attack and kill a lot of people, right? So you don't want to have lines outside of your events, outside your hospital, outside your school, because that is a target, right? And we don't want to create targets for these types of facilities. So that's why these standards are created, so people can comply and then get people in safe, knowing that you're not going to let any weapons in. And that's, you know, what standards are for, is to make sure that you're not letting any weapons through your system if you follow the standard. So if you plug in the standard you want to catch, everything in that standard you should be catching. So long as the customer knows what they want to catch, they just set it to that standard and you're good to go.
Excellent. Well, now, what separates, now to get back to your company, what separates Athena Security from the other weapons detection vendors out there? What makes you separate? Or, in other words, why should a prospect come to you and say, Chris, I want to buy your product?
And that's a very good question, actually. And the very simple answer is we follow standards, right? There's a couple answers to that. I'll go through a couple of them. So we follow standards. If you look at any other companies out there, the first thing you got to ask yourself is, do they follow standards? Can you set the system to a standard? If you can't, you shouldn't be buying them because things are going to get by, right? Number one. Number two, you got to make sure that they're following the ferrous and non-ferrous types of metals. If you can't detect both of them, again, you're letting weapons get by, and that's really a problem, right? And then you take the hardware side, and you say, okay, here's a weapons detection system, here's a weapons detection system. They both say they can find weapons, great, okay. What's the next step, right? The software is the next step. And that's what we do is no one else does is Homeland Security's best practices. Again, we have all that plugged into our platform. We record, we document, and that's really important. Like I said before, if you get into a wrongful death situation and you have to go to court and they ask you where's your documentation and you say you don't have any, you know, you just lost, right? Any kind of issue with any kind of person that you have to have this type of documentation to take this product and put it into court or any kind of case that you may have. So it's really important to follow documentation, and the Homeland Security recommends you documenting, testing, and recording, right? So we put those features in the product. We have a button in there that says test the system, and you can actually run through and test the plane of detection. What does that mean? The plane of detection is all the different spots where you can detect the weapon. So left, right, and center. And you're going to detect at the head level, the waist level, and at the feet level. And you want to make sure that you're detecting those three spots up and down and then across. So that's 9 different spots you'd be testing, and the system shows you on the screen how to test, and it records it for you. And then a form pops up and documents it. Did it pass? Did it fail? What do you do to fix it? So these systems have different types of settings. And let's say, you know, every environment is different. So let's say you missed spot number 4, right? And that means that something went wrong. So you have to go back and set the sensitivity higher so you catch all the different spots. That's what you put in the report and the form, and now you catch all the spots, and now you pass, right? So it's really important that you test because sometimes, you know, it doesn't go off, right? So that's why you have a standardized piece from the government, and that's what sets us apart from other products out there is we have this type of documentation and testing and recording in the product, and we also do all kinds of other pieces of software. But the important stuff is, you know, following best practices. Having that type of software built into the platform makes it real easy for everyone to run it. We also have incident response forms built into the platform. So basically when someone comes through, sets off the alarm, and it's going to pop up their image, and it's going to say confirm or false, right? If it's false, let's say they had a laptop on them, it went off because they had a laptop, okay, then you select false. But if they had a weapon, you select they had a gun on them, it pops up a form, takes in all their information. If you look at these hospitals, so what we do is we try to apply our software to make our companies' lives easier that we go into, right? So we're in these hospitals and we're seeing these arguments that they're having with these behavioral health patients all the time because they're handing over knives, they're handing over gadgets, you know, whatever it may be, and they're giving them back at the end of the day. Well, guess what? They're arguing saying that's not what I gave you, and they're arguing that's not the condition I gave it to you in, right? So those two different incidents can happen. So what we do is in the form, we take a picture of whatever they confiscate, right? And that way there's no argument at the end of the day, and the officer's jobs are a lot easier because, hey, here's the picture of what we confiscated. Here's what I'm giving back. There's no more argument now from the behavioral health patients, right? And it's really important to understand that this product is built from our clients, you know, up. And also text messages the people to come pick up the products at the end of the day so they don't have a million products there.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, just a side question. Just a side question. All of your software that you just mentioned, do you use like the AWS or Azure to support that back end, if you will?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, we have AWS plugged in, and the clients can choose on-premise or they can choose the cloud. So if they choose the cloud, it'll be in AWS and Linode, and if they don't choose the cloud, then they can have it on-premise server if they want. Or a private cloud,
okay,
if they
cool.
want. It all depends on how they wish to deploy.
Excellent. Now, the remote workforce, you know, COVID-19, now that the pandemic is more or less behind us, did that have an impact on your business a few couple years ago? And if it did, how did you recover, and how is it, you know, going forward now?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of companies suffered through COVID, unfortunately. We had over, like, 50 employees before COVID. We were running really strong. We were making money. We were breaking even as far as funds were concerned. COVID hit. Everything dropped. The sales dropped to zero. So unfortunately, we had to lay off about 30 people, right? That hit home because obviously we want to be out there helping people, and that kind of hurt us. But you know what? You have to do it to survive. So that's what we did to survive. And then we came back, and now we're hiring again. So, you know, COVID is definitely something that hit a lot of different companies and people, you know, and it was a very hard time for a lot of folks, and hopefully everyone made it through okay, and that's where we're at.
Cool. Excellent. Now, the threat, the weapons threat landscape, we've seen a huge uptick this year. It seemed like every day almost that there was a mass shooting somewhere, you know, in a mall or school or somewhere. What's causing this uptick? I know there could be a lot of, like, you know, like socioeconomic reasons, political reasons, psychological.
Yeah.
But is there any common denominator with all these mass shootings, what makes people do what they do from your experience?
Definitely. So if you look at the research, you can see a lot of mental health problems in these patients. And you have to understand mental health. I mean, I have a problem myself, you know, with schizophrenia running in my family. You have to understand what happens in the brain, right? You think something is real and it's not, and vice versa. And all of a sudden you think you're in a video game and you start shooting and, you know, it's not a video game, it's real life, right? And it's a problem for these types of folks because mental health is just a really big problem out there, and it's just growing and growing because no one's really doing a whole lot about it. And, you know, the food that we're eating causes problems with your brain. The drugs people take cause problems. You know, legalizing marijuana is probably one of the biggest things out there that is causing a problem, right? Understand how the brain works. Mental health folks, you know, everyone smokes weed these days, and they don't realize if they have any kind of problems in their bloodline, in their DNA, it comes out when you smoke, right? And unfortunately, you go off the deep end sometimes. I've seen two of my friends, you know, back in the day, they had problems, they went off the deep end, right, when they smoked. So they don't smoke anymore, obviously, right? And I think that's what's happening right now is everything got legalized, and this is all coming to the front, and people don't realize this is what's causing it. Like, you're allowing this stuff to happen, and they shouldn't be. If you're a mental health patient, you shouldn't be allowed to be taking drugs that you don't know how it's gonna affect you. And it's a big problem for this community, each community that we live in right now, unfortunately.
Okay. Now, not to get on the political bandwagon, you know, nothing like that, but what do you favor, like, stronger gun legislation or more stringent and more in-depth background checks? Or
I stay out of politics, but, yeah, I mean, obviously that kind of stuff can help. More strict gun laws. Who's allowed to have a weapon. But, you know, the Constitution is there, and you're not going to move it. I mean, it's just the way it's going to be. You could put in certain things to say, you know, mental health patients has to be more rigorous, and they're not supposed to be able to have a gun. But then you could have a mental health patient that says, no, I have a right, you know, and you can't do that to me, you know. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's really political, and I tend to stay away. I think people should be looking at this from a different angle. Stop trying to, like, think that the gun is the problem. That's not the gun that's the problem. It's the community that's the problem, right? So you have to take these things in consideration, and you need to have different exits for these types of folks to get help, right? I think the main problem is mental health, and if they address that, I think we'll have a lot less problems with weapons.
Okay. Yeah, true. Excellent. Now, this is going to kind of sound like maybe a corny question, but if somebody is confronted by a shooter or something, what can they do to help diffuse the situation? Or if you want to take that into a broader picture, what can somebody do to protect themselves from not being a victim of a shooting?
Oh, there's a lot you can do, right? Be aware of your environment, right? Try to stay away from areas that could have a problem, mainly long lines, right? Shooters, when they shoot, a lot of them tend to go to where crowded areas are. All right, so just being aware of what is around your surroundings. If you're scared of, you know, what happened in Vegas, you know, landscape is a really big portion of security. The way entryways are built should have more trees, more things to block, you know, people that are going to shoot from far away into an entryway type of situation. So being aware of your surroundings, understanding where you are, can mitigate a lot of risk. This comes down to risk, right? What situation am I in? What area am I in? And how much risk am I putting myself into, right? So being aware, I think, is a really key point. Reading up on how these types of attacks happen is a good thing, so you can understand what goes through these people when they're doing what they're doing. And just staying out of arguments, right? I mean, you know, people get upset. They have a weapon on them. Guess what? It's coming out, right? Nightclubs, you know, Miami, a lot of places are having shootings, you know. So you got to be aware of your surroundings and what you're putting yourself into when you go out, and, you know, understand your risk levels and mitigate that risk by keeping yourself away from those types of areas.
Okay, cool. Excellent. Well, as we wrap up our show, Chris, what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you in case they're interested in learning more about your products or they may want to buy something? What's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Sure thing. So my email address is chris@athena-security.com. You can also just go to athena-security.com on the web, and you can read all about the product, submit a form, and one of our sales folks can get a hold of you. You can also call me, 415-517-0732.
Okay. Well, Chris, is there anything else more you'd like to add?
Nope, that's it. Thanks so much. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for your time. We look forward to having you again. Take care.
Yep. You too. Bye-bye.